fighting the fight, given their lives around the nation. It's time to put on the armor of God and leave it on. We pray for the ones that sit in the churches and bow to the abominations of the nations. They say, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. But there's a lot we could all do. And that's to seek you. Why do you love us so, Father? We pray for things that's happened, or happening, or is happening, or we pray, or we please ask, stop these things. But in your word, Father, you say that these things must happen. We look to all the negatives and not the positive. We should be saying the King is coming. This house, or no other godly place, is ours. It is your church. We are the body of your church. Father, we pray for all those that are seeking you and seeking a house to worship in. They could walk into the building and feel the Holy Spirit of the building. And we don't have to search for it. It's here. And Lord, we just make things scarce for one another. Because if we're not here serving and worshiping the mighty God of all creation, we might as well just all go to lunch, because that's the only satisfaction we're going to get. So, Father, we should all be on our faces asking forgiveness of our pride, our humility, and lay ourselves before the King of Kings. Because I don't want to ever have to stand before my Father and hear that verse, Matthew 7:21-23, that says, Lord, Lord, we healed the sick, we cured the blind, we fed people in your name. And he said, go away from me, for I do not know you. So, Father, we give you this today. I thank you what you have given me to share, and I hope it touches your life as it has mine. In Jesus' name. God chose to fill empty vessels, but he can't fill people with spirits if they're already full of themselves. There is a real danger in the body of Christ of having insufficient spirits, which is why we don't see many revivals. People think that they have sufficient satisfied spirits within their congregations. When we humble ourselves, God promises to hear and respond. He never breaks that promise. You will never find a time in the Bible when men humbled themselves before the Lord and he didn't hear the response. God puts the responsibility to humility on us. Seeking humility means we confess our burdens and sins to our Father and become transparent, so nothing is hidden. You know, when we talk about humility and then turn around and stab each other in the back, that's not humility. That's mocking God. We're not standing in line with one another in love and truth. We're not standing in the righteousness of our Father. The less of us and the more of him is what we seek, because it's the Christ within us. We must feel the burdens of our own lack of righteousness. Why do we get upset when sinners sin? Because they don't know the truth of God. They don't have the covering of the blood of Yeshua or the Holy Spirit to guide them. It is our responsibility as believers in Yeshua that we get this message out. So many people have received the Holy Spirit and accepted the Lord, but then they're left all alone. They're not guided to a church. Somebody thinks, oh, I did my job, it's over. No, you started your job. Your job is to lead them. Lead them to the right church. Lead them to the Yeshua and His love. And we seem to forget that. God says in Joel 2, even now return to me with fasting and weeping and mourning. Give your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. For He is gracious and compassionate, abounding in love, and He will relent sending calamity. We have a merciful God. We have a God that's unbelievably kind and fair, has much grace for us. If we didn't have that, none of us would be sitting here. That's what it means to be humbling ourselves, however. I wonder if we had become too proud to surrender our hearts to fasting, weeping, and mourning. Even in desperate times, we have great sources of hope. We can move God's heart by our own earnest pleas for a passionate calling of God, named by His people, on their knees, always preceding revival. If somebody could look up 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm pretty sure some y'all know it. And whoever gets there can read it out loud.
That if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place.
That's pretty direct. That's God telling us, I will forgive you. I always will forgive you. But if we can't humble ourselves before each other, how do we humble ourselves before God? God tells us repeatedly that if we are serious about humbling ourselves, we must fast and pray. Now, how many of you fast or have fast? It should be a regular thing for all of us. And I'm not talking about a fast of a day. Because I've made it 2 days, and by that second day, it's like, wow. You know, you feel the power of God, but you feel hungry. Now, which one do you want? You know? And it makes it very difficult for some of us. But a 3-day fast opens doors. It opens doors. And I highly recommend it for each and every one of you to have that kind of control. Jesus in His teaching did not say, if you fast. He says, when you fast. And that's Matthew 6:16-18, if somebody wants to read that.
And whenever you fast, do not put on a movie say to you, they have the reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you.
Psalms 35:13-14 says, and this, you can look that up. I'm just going to read a little short part of it, and then someone else can read the rest. It says, I put on sackcloth and humble myself with fasting. Oh, it is Psalms 35:13-14.
Clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayers returned unto me, my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavenly as one that mourneth for his mother.
Thank you. Fasting is one of God's ordained ways to humble ourselves. In Ezra 8:21, the prophet Ezra proclaimed a fast so that he and his companions might humble themselves before God. Fasting is a sign of humility to the Lord God, because it is our attempt to subject our desires so that we can focus on God's desires. Also, fasting communicates availability and a yielding to God for whatever he wants instead of what we want. Most of all, fasting enables us to give our full attention to God's leading and not our own agenda. Fasting means that we are willing to give up something your body demands to fervently seek something your spirit longs for. You want revival, prayer, and fasting. So why don't we? First of all, we are afraid because it isn't acceptable in denominations. We sit and worry about what people think about us. When you tell them you're fasting, they say you're nuts. Second reason is pride. It is humbling to fast. If you decide to pray, mourn, and fast, some people will ridicule you because you are doing something radical and not going with the crowd. I don't want to go with the crowd. I'm tired of being in the crowd. I find myself praying to God to keep me in control of my emotions because I get angry. I get really angry with the same crap every day. Use my language. I actually ask God for anger, but I want his. I want righteous anger. I want to be able to approach somebody, and when they come up and say, well, you do this, this, and this, I do it because my Father has guided me to do it. In his word, he tells me, we have every direction for life in this book. Everything of past, present, and future. Revival doesn't come because we see the importance of humility and declare its virtues. Revival comes because we intentionally seek it. We're talking about bringing life back into the churches. Getting true words spoken for the pulpit. Not coming to agreement with what the world is doing, because we'll all be going to hell. We can't say we fully accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior when we're going along with what man has decided we have to do. If we don't stand firm, well, it's in God's hands. God clearly says that it's what we must do if we want to be humbled. Yourself before me. The question is, are you too proud to do it? Humbling means we have a burden with present conditions. And then we pray and fast, and we start addressing our desperate need for holiness. Revival makes us address our needs for holiness. I have wondered why revival comes so slowly and so infrequently. When every church says, therefore, revival. So why do we rarely see it? Many people ask for a revival because they think it would be fun. They've never been in one. Long-term revival is glorious. Short-term is painful. Because if there was a movement of the Spirit in the church, there would be conviction of sin. Like we have never seen before. And are we sure we want that? 1 Peter 5, 1 through 8. Somebody could get that and read it.
Glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples of the flock, to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour.
Thanks, Karen. That's why we need to clothe ourselves with humility. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
So we need to get on our game, because they like to boast about it. So we need to just do our humbly praying and fasting to the Lord. Because there are people out there that really want to pray and fast for the wrong reasons. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kitty. You know, that's why I appreciate Ava up here singing from her heart. And gets emotional, and it just stuns me when she apologizes for that. We should all be thanking her for that. We should all be doing that. Therefore, we must humble ourselves under God's mighty hand and believe that he will humble the haughty in spirit. Do you remember how proud and arrogant King Nebuchadnezzar was? Before God, even though he had been warned in a dream, to humble himself. He didn't, of course. And that then he spent 7 years in the wilderness, like an animal, eating grass, scratching up worms. 7 years. And in Daniel 4:37, it says, I hear that all those who walk in pride, he is able to make humble. No matter who we think we are or what we are, if it doesn't fit God's plan for you or me, he will bring you to your knees. In Isaiah 45:23-24, and before you start reading, let Alan get to you. Sorry, I didn't mean to work. Make you work today. Get your workout for vacation. Martin.
23-24?
Yes.
Isaiah 45:23-24. I have spoken by my own name. I have spoken the truth. I will never go back on my word. Every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will confess allegiance to me. The people will declare, the Lord is the source of all my righteousness and strength. And all who are angry with him will come to him and be ashamed.
Thank you. The Bible says that one day every knee will bow. On that day, we are not talking about if you will bow. You will humble yourself before God. You will humble yourself before God because the Bible says that God will humble all that do not humble themselves. And in James 4:6, Barb, right there, Summerfield.
But the grace he gives is greater, which is why it says, God opposes the arrogant, but to the humble he gives grace.
Amen. If you do not fall on your face before God, he will put you flat on your back. One way or the other, you're going down. If you want purity and righteousness in your life and in your congregations, you must humble yourself, pray and fast, ask God for revival. If a true humility can be found in any human heart, you can rest assured that it is a product of knowing Christ and becoming like him. Every Christian has a choice between humble or being humbled. Humbling yourself, humble yourself, or God will do it for you. Amen. Father, I just want to thank you and praise you for these words that we have shared, that you have shared with me, that I brought forth. Lord, I hope it touches people like it has touched me to seek your face in all aspects of fasting, humbling, and revival. We can do this. This is a war we're in, my brothers and sisters. And as I said, the armor of God has to be on you at all times now. As you heard about the tragedy in South Carolina, the victory coming out of it already is the people of that church and community forgave this guy and walked miles. The whole town and city came together. That's an outcry of Christ. That's showing his blood is covering them. Amen. Thank you.